I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, maybe it's no surprise that a political entity called No Hate in Washington State is actually incredibly hateful. Plus, the new head of the Seattle Police Union says he worries about World Cup safety, specifically in areas away from the stadium. And Seattle drug addicts being told that it's totally okay if they kill their pets. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Right now, we're still running our promo, 30% off an entire year if you'd like to support the show. Go to patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Man, we had a busy, busy weekend and a busy week last week that led to the busy weekend and an awful lot of drama. So I'm sure you're wondering how this event that we were protested at on Saturday went. And I'll talk a little bit about that, but it's really part of the context of a larger story. And of course, there was that Seattle Times story on Mother's Day about a woman named Katie Faust, who is more of a national political figure. And yeah, she wants to upend the United States Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. And remember, they mentioned that I was going to be at the same event as her, even though I didn't know who she was, and I don't agree with her position on gay marriage. But then all the wolves came out. And I'm sorry, if you're in a blue state and you're calling your organization No Hate in WA State, I already know you're probably one of the most hateful organizations there is. Same if you call your organization like anti-racist. I already know you're one of the most racist organizations that exist, because that's just the way it works. So, of course, this No Hate in Washington State was sending people because, one, this Katie Faust was going to be there. And they don't like her position on gay marriage, which, honestly, I don't have a problem with. I think it's a little strange. Like, what would I do, or you, or normal functioning adult do, if somebody was going to be speaking somewhere that you disagreed with? You, like, just wouldn't go, right? Because you're not going to go anyway. And I certainly wouldn't waste my Saturday out protesting them. But the left's got this protest culture thing. And if they want to peacefully protest someone whose positions they disagree with, I don't really care so much. The problem I have is that they're out there protesting based on lies. And here's what I mean by that. So No Hate in Washington State put out this call to action, which was shared by State Representative April Berg, who represents the area that our event was going to be at in Snohomish County. Here's what they said about it. This Saturday, May 16th, the Snohomish County Republicans are holding a fundraising dinner with Brian Haywood, Brandi Cruz, Katie Faust, and Jim Walsh, focusing on a new target for next year and beyond: ending marriage equality across the United States. No Hate in Washington State wants you to join us to send a clear message that hate has no place here, at home, or across the country. So now it went from this woman who I'd never heard of, who absolutely does oppose gay marriage, to now it's my mission. It's Brian Haywood with Let's Go Washington's mission. It's Jim Walsh, the chair of the Republican Party's mission. And our new target for next year is to upend marriage equality, which is just a flat-out lie, of course. And again, if they wanted to say, hey, this woman's going to be there and she opposes marriage equality, we're going to go protest her by all means. But now you're saying that all of us are there to talk about our new goal for next year, which is to upend marriage equality. And shame on Representative April Berg. And I called her out on social media for that. Not just is she a state representative, and I think you ought to have higher standards than to use a lie to send people to go protest an event when you know a lot of people on the left get out of hand when they protest. But also, she wants to be the Speaker of the House. I have it on good authority. She has been informing her colleagues in Olympia that she plans to challenge current Speaker of the House Lori Jenkins for her seat. So surely, I mean, Lori Jenkins is a liar. We've talked about her lies around this very issue. She's lying around these very issues on radical gender ideology and all that. So maybe being a liar is a prerequisite for being Speaker of the House. And if that's the case, then April Berg, bang up job, you're well on your way to becoming Speaker of the House. But of course, No Hate in Washington State is the exact same entity that was behind the lies about me and Brian Haywood last week. Because they're both, so No Hate in Washington's Day is controlled or run by a political, left-wing political operative group called Powerhouse Strategic. And Powerhouse Strategic is the entity that put out this absolutely lie of a press release about me last week, saying that Let's Go has failed to declare in-kind political advertising valued between $345,000 and $1.25 million from right-wing influencer Brandi Cruz. And they put it out with this shell organization called Washingtonians for Ethical Government. But all of it, that, No Hate in Washington State, it's all ties back to Powerhouse Strategic, which is a political messaging firm that works with SEIU, the Washington Education Association, two of the biggest opponents of all of these voter initiatives, and they work with the Washington State Democratic Party. So they obviously not only run one of the most now hateful political entities in the state, No Hate in Washington State, but lying is like their number one tool. It's their number one strategy. Let's just lie because we can't win off the truth. Because the truth is, well, boys aren't really girls, and boys do have a competitive advantage against girls. So when we're fighting the initiative on parental rights and the initiative on no boys and girls sports, we can't win with the truth, so we might as well just lie. So they lie about everybody. And they lie in dangerous ways, sending out people to come and protest us, some of whom might be unhinged. I also want to note, so I'm going to get to some of the protester signs that really drive home the reality that No Hate in Washington State is just a hateful organization. But remember the Councilwoman Pam Stewart, so she's the council member for Sammamish, Washington, who held this press conference about me last week where she spread these lies that basically I've given a bunch of free political advertising to Let's Go Washington. Remember the first line in her statement about it? I'm personally outraged at the hateful language, falsehoods, and tactics that Cruz and Let's Go Washington use to push these initiatives. She's personally outraged at the hateful language, falsehoods, and tactics that we use. Well, I can't remember telling any lies about the initiatives. You might not like my opinion, but I certainly don't tell any lies. And I just demonstrated that the organization you represent told a number of lies last week and builds an entire campaign and strategy around lies. And then as far as you're outraged by the hateful language, well, here's what the people were saying to us that you sent out to protest us on Saturday. Here's the signs that we were met with. See you at Nuremberg, fascist effers. Those are the people that No Hate in Washington State sent out to protest us. They think that our political views that they lied about are so horrible that we are comparable to Nazis and we should be put on trial and hanged for our crimes, hanged for the crime of political disagreement. And then they dare call themselves No Hate in Washington State. Remember, the playbook for radicals, accuse your enemy of doing what you're doing while you do it. So they spread lies. They use vicious tactics like lawfare. They say hateful things like we should be hanged for our political beliefs. And then they say, I'm personally outraged at the hateful language, falsehoods, and tactics that Brandi Cruz and Let's Go Washington are doing. These people are psychotic. They belong in a psych ward. They've lost their ever-loving minds. And so that's happening while they're out there with this geriatric guy saying, I'll see you at the Nuremberg trials, at fascist effers. Back inside at the event, here's what's happening. Stand beside. Oh, isn't that nice? And you nice with the lights from above. We're just listening from to kids sing about America. Makes me want to have a baby. Bring it home, kids. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Adorable. You tell me which side is spreading hate. Is it the side that has the cute kids singing about God bless America? Or is it the side holding a sign that says we deserve to be hanged for our political beliefs? Accuse the other side of doing what you're doing while you do it. They say we lie while they lie. They say we have bad tactics while they try to bankrupt my business. They say that we're full of hate while all they spread is hate and intolerance. Now, I will admit to a couple of things, okay? And I really do think there was a lot of religious individuals at the event on Saturday. And I've already said, you know, I'm not particularly religious, but I also said at one point in time that I hated Donald Trump with the heat of a thousand suns, and then I went out and voted for him. So it's really only a matter of time before I find Jesus. But after this weekend, I mean, I had so much hate in my heart for these people. I really did by the time I went there. And I'm going to admit to something, okay? Can you put the guy with the sign back up? Real quick. I just want to admit to it. I flipped him the bird. I flipped him the bird, okay? I was coming in my car and I saw that sign and I flipped him the bird. I did it, okay? So I'm sorry. Maybe I need to spend some time at church and reading the Bible. I also went out with security and confronted some of the individuals there about the lies that no hate in Washington State is telling.
I don't oppose gay marriage.
Well, what's the truth? What do you actually believe?
I never oppose gay marriage.
But what do you believe? What do you oppose?
I don't oppose gay marriage, which was the lie that No Hate Washington State told before he came out.
I'm here about the initiatives that I'm in question.
The initiatives I support. Men aren't women. They never will be. They don't belong in women's sports.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, I think in hindsight, I probably should have gone out there looking to have a conversation with some of them. But I was just so mad about the Nuremberg sign and the lies and the fact that April Berg, who wants to be the Speaker of the House, spreading lies to get people to come out there and protest us. Should have taken a few deep breaths and gone and done my job better and just talked to them and tried to reason with them. But also, I'm not sure that reason works with this particular crowd of people. So yes, I flipped someone the bird, okay? I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry about it. I'd do it again, in fact. On a related note, the race to 4,000 signatures begins. We had a busy weekend. We had a signature gathering event. What?
400,000.
What did I say?
4,000.
The race to 400,000 signatures begins. 4,000 would be easy. We probably got that this weekend. Apparently, I'm not supposed to give free shout-outs to Let's Go Washington, according to Democrats. So we held a whole event with Let's Go Washington on Sunday for free. And some familiar faces were there. This was the first opportunity for a lot of people to sign the initiative to repeal the income tax, which we now have. God, it's only like 40 days or something. It's on my birthday, I think, is the deadline on July 2nd. And so they've got at least 400,000 signatures they need to collect. Jesse Proudman, who's with Venice AI, who was on our show saying he's going to leave the state if this thing stands. He was there. He signed it. Ari Hoffman joined me there for the event. And we had such a steady flow of people all day. We held the event from 11 to 2. And we just had people coming all day long, and they were just, and it's always people. I wish some of the Democrats would go stand at these things, because I think they'd be surprised by the kind of people who come sign an initiative to repeal the income tax on quote unquote millionaires, because it's people from across the socioeconomic spectrum. Not a lot of people who are millionaires who are immediately going to be subjected to the tax, but people who absolutely understand that this is going to expand to everyone. It was written that way. It was designed that way. And that's the goal. As soon as this thing, if it stands up, they're going to make sure it applies to everyone. So a fantastic event. I always get questions from people whenever I post pictures of us signing or having an event. Where can I sign? Where can I sign? How many times can I tell you? Just go to letsgowa.com. And they've got the signing locations and places where you can do it. Because if you look at my feed, it's like, where can I sign? Where can I sign? You just go to their website, guys. You just go to their website and use the map. Now, I will say, I am very worried about the signature gatherers because of the absolute crazed vitriol that signature gatherers for Let's Go have faced. I mean, in every initiative they've ever done, it just gets worse and worse and worse because Democrats turn a blind eye to it. And really, they've been part of it, running these snitch lines to report on people who are, oh, God forbid, using their constitutional right to collect signatures on something they believe in. We can't allow them to do that. So we've got to go there and harass them and block their path and convince people not to sign and all these things. And I mean, there's a lot of money at stake with this income tax. So the SEIUs of the world, the WEAs of the world, the unions that benefit from bloated government and more money coming from your pockets into the government coffers, they're going to get nasty. And I've already said I wouldn't be surprised if they start to kill people over these initiatives. I say that totally absent hyperbole, especially the Boys and Girls Sports Initiative, because you're dealing with some real unhinged individuals in that regard. But I definitely worry for the signature gatherers whenever they're out there doing this. And we were sent this sign from West Olympia Safeway. And I got to say, absolutely. First of all, I've said this before. I actually, and I'm sure Brian and Let's Go Washington will hate me for saying this, but I've said it on the show before, I think businesses should get to choose. I am all for property rights and private property rights. And I really believe that if you're a business and you don't want people selling Girl Scout cookies, collecting signatures for whatever it is, you ought to have a say in that. But all the precedent basically says if you've allowed other people to do this, you've turned yourself into a public square, and therefore you can't say yes to these people and no to these people. But here's what Safeway and Albertsons put outside this West Olympia grocery store. Valued customers, signature gatherers and solicitors are here without our permission. We have asked them to leave, but they refuse. To encourage them to leave, please do not sign their petitions or give them money. That is a step too far. Now, look, you can spend a couple years as Safeway and Albertsons, and you can do what needs to be done to say we're not a public square anymore. So basically, you don't allow any groups to be able to sort of solicit for anything outside your establishment. And if you left it at that and you fought for your private property rights, I am on your side on that. Because I also think, you know, as long as it's fair, the left can't do it, the right can't do it, and they got to go to establishments that want them there. But when you say don't sign, I have a problem with that. When you're telling customers not to sign an initiative, that's a step too far. So we've reached out to Safeway and Albertsons to ask them, does this mean you're opposed to, are you taking a position on the income tax? What are you trying to do here? Are you trying to sort of disrupt, shame people who do want to sign? And we haven't heard back yet, right? Nicole got a response from an AI bot, but we're working on an actual response at this point. But yeah, that's too far to me. And I'm more than happy to be part of conversations in the future about, you know, what, because especially with the craziness that happened around the Boys and Girls Sports thing, you know, where you had assaults happening. You had screaming matches happening. You had these people coming up and tearing up initiatives, and it would, you know, turn into this big ordeal for the store and loss prevention, and the cops would be called and all of that. I don't like that for private businesses. The real culprit there, though, is the unhinged activists who can't just let people sit there and peacefully collect signatures. You've made it so difficult that it turns into this ordeal, so I almost don't like Democrats getting their way just by virtue of them creating a problem and making it a problem, because there weren't these problems when they were out collecting signatures for like gay marriage and collecting signatures for gun control initiatives. No, because conservatives don't do that. They don't go there and scream and hurt and harass people who they disagree with. They just walk away. They just walk past because you're like normal functioning human beings. So yeah, that rubs me the wrong way, Safeway and Albertsons. I don't like it. You can be opposed to the policy, but telling people or guilting them into not signing is a totally different thing. All right, coming up next, we hear from the ex-girlfriend of that homeless man who allegedly raped a 15-year-old girl, all part of these growing concerns about public safety ahead of the World Cup in Seattle and what the socialist mayor's plan really is. All right, summer is going to be upon us before we know it, although the weekend was gross. The rain was gross, but it was beautiful out this morning. So Valentine Roofing's schedule is starting to fill up, but there is still time to get priority scheduling, meaning if you need some work done on the exterior of your home before you start to have friends and family over to enjoy the backyard or their deck, they can still, if you call now, get you on the schedule within 3 weeks for an exterior cleaning, for a roof inspection, roof cleaning, gutter cleaning, or a new roof altogether, because you don't want somebody up there working on your roof while you got friends over for a barbecue. So there's still time to beat the summer rush. Get your roof started in as little as 3 weeks. And then also worth noting that as the cost of crude oil goes up, material prices are going to go up. Shipping prices are going to go up. It hasn't quite caught up to this industry yet, but it's going to over time. So you can lock in your prices right now. So even if you're thinking a couple months down the road, lock in your prices. Call 206 Roofing. Schedule your free estimate today. 206 Roofing. All right. There continue to be public safety fears ahead of the World Cup. Of course, I think there's always been a level of public safety concern in Seattle, but you have a police force that is depleted. 700 officers down. Now they've got to deal with tens of thousands of fans and also the existing public safety crises that they're already having a hard time responding to. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to get involved in saving this state we love. All right, we talked about all the unprovoked attacks that have been happening in areas of downtown. I mean, the elderly man who was attacked for no reason at 3rd and Pine, just blocks away from Pike Place Market, where there's going to be a lot of tourists, and there already is a lot of tourists. There was also the man brutally beaten with a hammer for no reason, the Seattle runner on the waterfront, et cetera, et cetera. There's been a lot of disturbing stuff. And, you know, I think when you get those violent, unprovoked attacks, a lot of times you're dealing with mental health issues or drug-induced mental health issues. But there's been way more than normal. We might have those one off once a month, a couple times a month, but it was like one after another after another. Over the weekend on Sundays with Subscribers, we had an interview about the case involving the homeless man who in North Seattle, Joshua Kowalewski, he pleaded not guilty to charges of rape and kidnapping. He's the guy who lured allegedly that 15-year-old girl into the woods by a bus stop and then sexually assaulted her. And the Seattle Times just felt like they should leave out the fact that he's homeless, which I thought was super strange. But one of the things that stands out about his case, and it's true for a lot of these individuals who commit these violent random attacks, is he's got a long criminal history. He's drug addicted, right? He's homeless. So those are also two consistent things with a lot of these violent, unprovoked attacks. And there were a lot of opportunities where he had some sort of criminal justice. What do they call them? They're criminally justice involved individuals. He had some sort of involvement in the criminal justice system where any well-functioning system would say, hey, you're addicted to drugs. That's probably why you're doing a lot of this stuff. We need to mandate that you get treatment or you're going to jail. But in Seattle, they don't do this. So we were contacted by his ex-girlfriend, longtime ex-girlfriend. She didn't want to use her name. She wanted us to blur her face, but she wanted to come forward and speak out about this case and just this larger issue. I mean, he beat her on multiple occasions. She was a domestic violence victim. She decided to stand up for herself. She called the police. She went to court. She did all of these things to try to make the case stick against him in a way where he'd spend some actual time in jail or be forced into treatment. But none of that really ever happened. And it's something that was frustrating and horrifying for her at the time, but especially in light of what he's now accused of doing.
What was his punishment?
Like a few days in jail. He had to do DV classes. I don't think he ever done them. I think that's why he still had the warrant out for the assault DV. Yeah, that was about it.
So, you know, a prosecutor said and police said in the court documents, you know, they go through his criminal history and that he said dozens of warrants. He had active warrants at the time that he's accused of raping this young girl. He'd just gotten sort of a deferred kind of sweetheart sentence on a drug thing in Seattle. What should that tell people about sort of the criminal justice system?
So that's funny because in my case, my advocate, she's amazing, Tiffany Crucy. She works for Linwood Police Department. She's an amazing advocate. I love her. She tried to sit down and tell me, she's like, you know, it's not in our hands. It's the court's hands. And these are all misdemeanors. And he's not, I mean, it doesn't matter how many he does until, I don't know. It's frustrating, to be honest. It's just how many times he can get away. Yeah, they're misdemeanors, but one was an assault. I mean, in his juvenile record, he's had assaults.
Did they at least try to connect him or mandate treatment or anything like that?
I mean, I assume they would. I assume they did, but I don't think he ever did it. You know, they let him out and like, okay, you have to do this by this certain date. And then he doesn't do it. And then he gets in trouble again. So there's not, you know, I don't think he ever did any of that stuff.
Yeah. So it's like, what's the point? You're going to mandate these things. He doesn't do it. He continues to get in trouble. And then 2 weeks before this attack, the Seattle socialist prosecutor gives him a sweetheart deal where, you know, it's like, oh, a deferment. It's like, dude, he has active warrants out. He hasn't committed or completed all these things he's supposed to complete. Why are you giving him a plea deal at all? Why are you giving him a deferment to avoid punishment? That makes literally no sense. So you have this environment, of course, as and look, I'm only tying this to the World Cup because there's going to be a lot of eyes on the city. And I think it's just going to highlight some of the existing problems. But I care about public safety all the time. We care about these issues all the time. It's like why we talk about them so much on the show. But the reality is that during the World Cup, you have this huge, you know, a potential terror target where you could have mass casualty events. And that's a huge level of planning. And you have the Seattle Police Department that they're going to need to be at the stadium, around the stadium. You have mutual aid. You have federal law enforcement that are going to come in. But you already have a city where you have so few officers that they can hardly respond to life or death and emergencies in an appropriate amount of time. So we had on the new president of the Seattle Police Union, Kent Liu, on the show on Sunday. And he talked about, you know, how all of these changes to criminal justice reform have hurt the ability of officers on a regular day to deal with criminals, let alone during the World Cup.
Let's say I don't have enough for a felony level. Let's say I don't have, you know, you're not distributing it, you're not selling it, right? You're not moving it. I see you with a pill in your hand and you're smoking it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I have simple possession. For a little while, we lost simple possession because of the court case out of Spokane.
Yeah.
Right. So we've always kind of had these battles. Now I go and I make this arrest and I go to jail and they're going to say I swallowed dope.
Yeah.
Or they're going to say I was raped. Right. So now we have an issue with King County Health Services, who's in charge of the nursing and staff at the jail, who are coming up with these protocols. So now I've got to take this person to the hospital for 6 to 8 hours or at least like a 6 hour observation if they said they swallowed dope.
Yeah.
If I'm understaffed, let's say I'm at minimums, how do I put resources at 3rd and Pine, 3rd and Pike, at 12 and Jackson, and conduct arrests to a jail system to with King County, running by health, King County Health Services? That is the problem, right? And quite frankly, I mean, this goes back to Dow Constantine as a King County executor, believe it or not, because he modified all the inquest. The King County inquest processes. Yeah. So our county operates like no other county in the entire country. That now King County Jail, they can't take any chances of an in custody death.
Because now it is
an inquest hearing, and that's costing the taxpayers millions of dollars.
Completely untenable. Completely untenable. We'll never be able to dig ourselves out of the hole. Do you feel confident that, and look, I care about public safety all the time. I think it's a little sad that it's like all before the All-Star game and before the World Cup, but you know, there's going to be a lot of people here. Do you feel confident that the city is equipped to keep them safe?
I feel confident with our ability and our staffing for the World Cup, for the event, for the stadium, for that itself.
Okay.
Some of the other areas of the city are dangerous and prone to violence. And unfortunately, like that one video that circulated with the elderly man on 3rd Avenue, that is truly unprovoked. That is probably the scariest of all situations. You know, you hear a lot of attacks, you see a lot of victims doing this work. And, you know, sometimes you don't see the whole picture.
Yeah.
Right. They hit me, I hit them. And you're thinking, well, maybe something. I'm not seeing a part of this.
Yeah.
Right, of how maybe this started. You look at that video and it's horrendous because it truly is an unprovoked attack. This guy just got off the bus, 77-year-old man, and that's horrific. So I do have some areas of concern and resources being spread thin because the focus is going to be on the event, the watch parties, the stadium, and things like that. So patrol's going to be out there. They're going to be vigilant, and we will be, you know, responding to things. But, you know, unfortunately, there's still people roaming the streets that are dangerous, that probably should be in custody, that should remain in jail. But prosecutors aren't maybe filing charges or judges are releasing people. And that's a huge concern.
Yeah. But according to Governor Bob Ferguson, Seattle's a world-class city, he says last week. Oh, okay. No problems then. It's a world-class city. And of course, they're going to give people the little path to walk on like they did during the MLB All-Star game, where it's like gets you from Pike Place Market down to the stadium, and then they'll keep that path as clear and as clean as possible and better patrolled. But it's still, it's all lipstick on a pig. And I, I want everything to go well, of course, and I don't want there to be anything violent and horrible, but to act as if that's not a possibility, like some of our elected leaders are doing, is absolutely asinine. It really is. If you want to watch that full interview with not only the former girlfriend of that rape suspect, but also the Seattle Police Union president, Kent Liu, you can sign up to become a subscriber. Sundays with subscribers, we do in-depth interviews on topics of interest every week. Go to undividedpod.com, click on the link, and you can still use that USA 30 promo. So that's pretty cool. All right. Speaking of what Seattle is doing to get ready for the World Cup, well, they're installing some bathrooms in Pioneer Square, Throne Labs. Here's some pictures of what they look like. So they're a free public restroom, sort of like a porta potty on steroids, I guess. Oh, it has some nice wallpaper in there, some leafy wallpaper in there. First of all, how many days until they're destroyed? How many days until they're destroyed? And there's crap on the floor and
5 days.
5 days. Like, I'm sure they already are. It's just, okay, one of my pet peeves, and I notice it especially whenever I leave Seattle or the state, I hate that now all these bathrooms are under lock and key. You can't go into a freaking Starbucks without having to ask for the code for the bathroom. Why is that? Well, it's because the drug abusers and drug addicts come in and they shoot up in there or they defecate in there or whatever it is. And it just becomes disgusting. So they lock them up. And I'm all for freeing bathrooms again. But you have to deal with the underlying issue why we had to start locking up our bathrooms in the first place. So I don't know that there's a lot of just regular folks who are going to be using those bathrooms. They're just going to be used by the homeless. I mean, right? They're just going to be used by the homeless. And so they're going to be absolutely destroyed. Here's what Mayor Katie Wilson had to say. And their ribbon cutting was a toilet paper cutting. Was a toilet paper cutting. She said, today is the first step to delivering Seattle's number one and number two priority. Ugh. Creating clean, accessible and safe public bathrooms. And then the city's page said, we've been holding this in for a long time. Nothing like some bathroom puns. The new public bathrooms we opened today in Pioneer Square are a simple solution to address one of our most basic human needs and a step toward creating a more livable and welcoming city for everyone. I mean, does it create a more livable and welcoming city? The best thing to do, again, would be to make it not so disgusting everywhere that private businesses that people can go into have to lock down their bathrooms so people can't find a place to go to the bathroom. But I just really can't imagine these being used by the general public. So I also think it's important to note the cost of them. $100,000 per year for each of those little things. $100,000 per year. The combined cost, because there's four of them, will be $500,000, which includes some of the maintenance on it. So here's some of the details. So Throne Labs installed two of the restrooms at Pioneer Square. They're going to be open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Every unit's ADA accessible. Family features, it says. Caregivers will find a convenient baby changing station inside. No one is setting their child down in one of those. No one. Never. It will never happen. Touchless technology. Toilets and hand washing stations use touchless sensors to keep things hygienic. And then it says time limits. The restrooms will be open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. A 10-minute limit helps ensure no one overstays and keeps the line moving. But what's going to happen at 10 minutes? I know. Explain to me.
The door opens.
It just pops. But literally, what happens at 10 minutes?
What should happen,
it
actually.
It just pops open, or it starts to, like, the walls start to close in, right. So you'll get, like, crushed or something.
Red light starts flashing. This person was in here over 10 minutes. Can you imagine?
There are some places, like, overseas where it's, like, it shuts the door, and once you close it, it goes through this cleaning cycle where it automatically sprays the whole thing, literally from top to bottom, drains it and disinfects it. That's not what's happening here. Continual cleaning. Throne Labs will clean the restrooms multiple times a day. Visitors can leave a rating, share feedback, and report issues through an app. If someone reports unsanitary conditions, Throne will dispatch a maintenance truck as soon as possible. So it's not an automatic cleaning situation. They're going to go clean it. It's going to be disgusting. Sometime this week, we've got to go stop down there.
Okay.
Because it's going to be absolutely disgusting. And it's not like this hasn't been tried before. Just because it's a mobile unit, it's going to look the same as the other public restrooms that you've tried in parks or whatever it is.
Why not just bring them in for the World Cup and then take them away?
Right. That's what you should do. Bring them in for the World Cup. Jeez, take them away.
Waste of money.
Absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. All right. Coming up next, I think we have a, do we have a triple dose of unbelievable? No, double dose of unbelievable. But I'll tell you what. I woke up trying to be a better human being today. Nope. Now I'm angry all over again over this whole dogs and the homeless thing. It's driving me nuts. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones of sellwithwes.com. And if you're thinking about leaving the state, I get it. Super depressed to lose you. But Wes has been getting an awful lot of those clients, including Lawn, who is an undivided viewer and a very satisfied Wes client, who he and his wife decided to move to Arizona. And they said the key to a successful experience was just trusting Wes that he knew what he was doing.
And so we ended up doing pretty much everything everything they said. We did it all. And then all of a sudden, in 5 days, it was three offers all above list price. It was just kind of stunned. So yeah. It was dramatic, unbelievable thing. Because I told Wes when we talked to him, I said, well, we had to eat crow on it. And he goes, well, Lon, you followed the process. That's all I ask you to do. You followed it. Yeah. Well, thank you for pushing us through, pushing us over the edge to make the process work.
I love Lon's shirt. He's already totally in Arizona mode. He's got his flowery shirt on. It's great. But yeah, he said, I mean, I think it's overwhelming when a real estate agent comes in and says, hey, we need to do some cosmetic upgrades here to get the most possible value out of your home. But Wes makes it easy. He's only going to recommend the things he thinks you can get value back on. And he can even help arrange it so you don't have to pay for those upgrades until closing. And so they just kind of did what Wes told them to do. And they got all those offers over list price. And it happened so quickly, which was good because they made a decision to move it to Arizona very quickly. So they didn't have an awful lot of time. Sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. Wes was at the signature gathering event on Sunday. Yeah. He stopped by. It was really nice to see him.
That. Hey, really quick, do you want me to tell you what happens when when you run out of time? Or do you want to save it for comments?
No, I want to know.
So apparently you get a notification on your phone because you enter with your phone. You have to scan the thing. And
all
then
the homeless people have phones.
The door unlocks. And so the door unlocks and it enters a self-cleaning cycle. So there is some sort of self-cleaning and it sends an alert to people saying there's an emergency. The system.
Oh, because somebody won't get out.
Maintenance people.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And how quickly are they going to get there? No, you're just going to have a homeless person in there.
But
they don't care.
It just unlocks the door.
Just boop. And then some kid and their parent comes in and they're like, oh, hello, sir. Somebody mentioned something that I did see when I was in Amsterdam, which is, you know, I remember in Amsterdam, you had to put some coins in to use the public restroom, and then you got your money back when you left. And there's like cart places that do that too. If you want a cart, you put some coins in. Right. When you bring the cart back, you get your money back. Like it's like a couple quarters or something.
Right.
But
and actually, why not charge a dollar a use or some sort of money to?
And it would pay for itself.
Yes, it would pay for itself, and then why don't they do that? That's so
I don't
silly.
Know.
But
I don't
can
know.
You imagine? I mean, I know some males that spend a lot more than 10 minutes in the bathroom and the door just like unlocks.
You're like, no, no. It just pops open. Oh, it's too much. Anyway, Do that somewhere else.
Nice.
All right. Let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. Yeah, someone just said in our live chat, KT Hahn, self-cleaning cycle just means a free shower for the homeless folks. Right. I'm like, bring it on. Bring it on. All right. As I said, I was like, I should really just be a nicer person this week because I had really just had so much rage last week. I was like, I'm going to be, you know, calm and not hate the world. Nope, hate the world now because I saw this video from our friend Andrea Suarez with We Heart Seattle about the dogs that are being hurt and even killed through drug exposure on the streets of Seattle.
Down here at the park, a couple of the dogs stepped on something, got something, went home within a couple hours, they were dead.
Came across these flyers that are all over Belltown. So bad, we now have information on how to revive our dogs from overdose, from opioid poisoning.
It's because everybody doesn't stand up and say enough is enough.
Full information here handed out by King County Behavioral Health. That's how bad our drug epidemic is in Seattle, Washington, is that we're now having to train people how to reverse an overdose of our loved furry friends, how to give CPR to our dogs, how to inject intramuscular Narcan.
People that don't live here don't have a clue.
Suburban people that come downtown with their dogs, they don't know that a little piece of white chalk called fentanyl on the sidewalk will take the life of their dog.
Don't bring your dogs to downtown Seattle. But look at this flyer again. I think we've got a still of it here. Naloxone and dogs. There, it's from an organization called the Indigenous Harm Reduction Team. Goes and hands these out. And the picture is a dog with a needle in its mouth. Like the dog's happy about the needle, too. I genuinely have hate in my heart for anyone who would expose a dog to this. It says they're dogs. They put stuff in their mouth. These are accidents. If your furry friend ODs, it does not make you a bad person. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Hell yes, it does. It makes you a horrible person. And the leaders who allow it are horrible people. And the people who hand out these flyers are awful, horrible people. It doesn't make you a bad person if your dog gets to your fentanyl and ODs and dies. Yes, it does. I'm more convinced than ever that homeless people should not, it should be illegal for a homeless individual living on the streets to own a pet. It should be illegal. You look at all the other like pet welfare and all this stuff, but for some reason they're not advocating for the pets that are on the streets. And we see that in LA big time where they're like, you know, breeding dogs and using them to test drugs to make sure they don't have a hot dose of something. It goes on to say they might lick the ground or a discarded cooker or foil. There might be traces on our hands. They might sniff on the ground and inhale a small piece. They might get some on their fur, paws, and lick it off. They're dogs. They put stuff in their mouth. And then it goes through all the directions of what you should do if you think that your dog was exposed to drugs. These people can't even take care of themselves. They're bent in half from the fentanyl leans, and you think that they care? If their dog is too, if their dog is dying next to them, they're totally out of their freaking minds. It's not your, it does not make you a bad person. It's an accident. No, it's not. And yes, you're a bad person. Absolutely disgusting. If I were in charge day one, illegal, it's animal abuse. We're taking your dogs from you and we're giving them to a loving home. And hell, even get their info. You get clean one day, you can have your dog back. I don't know what it is, but you at that point have sacrificed your right to care for that animal. All right, double dose of unbelievable. Boop. All right, I had all sorts of stuff to do this weekend. I was all over the place. And I saw for the first time, not one, but two MEPA alerts. And they might have been tied to the same person, but they were 2 days apart. So it said a MEPA alert. I was like, what the hell is a MEPA alert? I was like, oh, that's that missing an indigenous person alert. And this has been, it goes back to 2022, House Bill 1725. It was State Patrol launches statewide alert system for missing and indigenous persons. Statewide went into effect in 2022. The law said the legislature intends to provide law enforcement with additional tools to disseminate timely, accurate information to engage the public more effectively in assisting with locating missing indigenous people and to compensate for the unique challenges that indigenous communities face accessing media coverage and the ability to share information. Now, again, maybe it makes me a bad person and maybe I really do need to find Jesus in my heart. But I saw that, it just pissed me off. I saw it, it just made me mad. Immediately. Because why are we prioritizing missing and endangered people based on their race, based on their skin pigmentation? And especially when you consider, and it says that this is compensating for the unique challenges. So you're gonna, again, we go from equal treatment to special treatment. That's their solution for all of the wrongs of the past. Equal treatment to special treatment. And it's not even, I mean, it was this year, this legislative session. Twyna Nobles, the state senator, she tried to pass ebony alerts. Remember that? California already has this. Ebony alerts. She said at the time, I've been supporting this effort because when someone goes missing, time and visibility matter. This bill helps ensure missing Black children and adults receive the urgency and coordinated response they deserve. What the hell about, why does it matter? It also strengthens tools to better respond when indigenous people and individuals experiencing mental illness go missing. It's about equity, safety, and making sure no community is overlooked when lives are at stake. How is it equity to single out races and get them more help when they go missing? How is that equity? Again, what did I say at the beginning of the show? If your organization's called No Hate in Wa-State, you're probably full of hate. And if you have some organization that has equity, you're probably racist. This is just racism. So we've got And they also, last year, same time, they considered a purple alert. Now, this doesn't have to do with race, but it has to do with missing adults with a physical, mental, or sensory disability, as well as those with suicidal ideation. Purple alert. And that hasn't passed yet, but they'll probably bring it back up. So now we've got amber alert for kids, silver alert for the elderly, MIPA alert for missing and indigenous persons, and they've considered, if they have their way, an ebony alert for black people and a purple alert for people with sensory disabilities. Here's a bold idea. Just do an alert whenever you have someone missing and endangered. Just do an alert for anyone. If you have reason to believe that they're missing and endangered, not that they've just left on their own, and you have pertinent information to share with the public on one of your many billboard thingies along the highway, share it. Doesn't matter if they're young, doesn't matter if they're old, doesn't matter if they're black, if they're white, if they're Native American, doesn't matter if they have a disability, doesn't matter if they have suicidal ideation, you're law enforcement. Just share it. And they do have kind of a catch-all, I will say, called the EMPA alert. It's a endangered missing person advisory, where if they have some sort of, and you might see this, like, let's say you've got a carjack or like some of these huge crimes where they're like, we're looking for this person right now. Sometimes you might see them use it anyway, but you don't need all this other stuff. You don't need to elevate certain communities of people. And I feel the same way about the amber alert and the silver alert. If someone's missing and endangered, we have all those boards on the highway already that are used for closures or tell you if there's an accident. Just throw it up. Throw it up every single time. Who cares if it's every day? Either you do it for everyone if they're missing and endangered, or you just don't do it at all. It is so, we are the most racist state in the union. We are the most racist state in the union. God forbid Nicole goes missing, somebody snatches her off the street. Well, white, not a child, and not yet elderly. Soon, but not yet elderly. Kidding. That was an unnecessary jab. It was totally unnecessary. But it's like, you know what I mean? Is it wrong, Nicole, and I'm going to read our show poll in a second. Mm-hmm. Is it wrong that I got angry? I saw that and I got angry.
No, it does make me angry, because I think that the Amber Alert had a very, I mean, those people that got the Amber Alert passed for right. a child named Amber who right. was abducted and killed. Gosh, that was such a huge deal, and it will save tons of children. Right. And now we're just assigning all these other things, like you. I don't care if they use the board for that. No. That's totally fine. Right. But stop acting like you've worked as hard as Amber's parents to get this passed. Right.
But just do it for everyone.
Just do it for everyone.
They use those boards to tell us to mask up during the pandemic.
Right.
You know, they use them for, I think they've used them for cheering on the Seahawks or something. I mean, right. they have used it. They can, if they're just going to have nothing on them.
Right.
And it's not like you're going to do it across the whole state. If you have an area you think somebody might be on I-5 or I-90, you put it up on those things, and it's not Native Americans or black people or whatever it is. You're basically, it's, again, from equal treatment to special treatment. Right. I'm okay with equal treatment. It's the special treatment that I have a problem with.
Well, it's funny, too, because they have so many rules for law enforcement declaring an Amber Alert for something. There's a lot of rules for that, but now we're just like, oh, here, just like right. anybody that falls into one of these classes, it's fine, we'll just,
God,
like,
it makes
we can
me
put
so
it
mad.
I don't, yeah, it's frustrating. I like you, I don't mind if they do it. I don't think we need laws and rules and all of this singling out of
what's the class. Response going to be, like, you say, I'm like, oh my gosh, Nicole's missing, somebody snatched her off the street, whatever, sorry to, you know, just, yeah, you're here, fine. You know. And I call and I'm like, oh my gosh, can you get this alert up? I know. Is she black? No. Is she Native American? No. Does she have a sensory disability? No. Is she suicide? No. Is she old? No. They're like, I can't help you.
Yeah,
what is
we
that?
We don't have anything for that.
I hate it so much. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll, do you support the use of MIPA alerts? Yes or no? 77% of you say no, and I'm assuming it's for that same reason. Robert says, redundant and pointless. Missing is missing. Right. Jeffrey, shouldn't be focused on nationality. Amber Alert should be taken seriously no matter who it is. Am I going to respond differently because it's an indigenous person? No. And in fact, it had the opposite of the intended impact. Right. Now I was mad. I wasn't going to read that sign. That car could have been right next to me. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. If the car had been right next to me, I would have, of course, done the right thing.
Just kind of ruin everything.
I know. Will says, I support missing persons alerts. I don't believe any race of U.S. citizen is more important than another. You know, you say that, the next thing they would do is missing undocumented alert for people who've been snatched by ICE. They'll say missing undocumented person alert, MUPA, they're snatched by ICE. And we laugh, but that's probably coming down the pipe.
Again, before white girl goes missing or yeah. white woman.
Right. Bill Swick, that sounds racist to me. What's the point? Just another grift? I see it. And I'm surprised it took me this long to see it. I'd never seen one before, but it's absolutely unbelievable. All right. We'll get to some national news coming up next. First, a whole bunch of you have taken the First Mark Challenge, listened to my sound advice, and went to see if you could save money on your insurance. Because why would you not? We have to have insurance. Just a fact of life. You want good insurance. We've all worked hard for everything we have, but you shouldn't be paying more than you have to. First Mark Insurance can help you with that. They'll go out. They'll shop their market of carriers for you, come back with their recommendations. And we hear from Undivided viewers on a weekly basis who say, thank you for telling me to do that, because now I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. And I would say that's kind of the average for our viewers, is they save about $100 or $200 a month. And when you think about that, that's like $1,200 to $2,400 a year. Think what you could do with that. And you still have great insurance. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Robin said, I joined the First Mark team. I'm saving $100 a month. Yes, $100 a month. Thank you. firstmarkinsurance.com. You could be the next First Mark Challenge victory. Take the First Mark Challenge now. It's totally free. firstmarkinsurance.com. All right. So in California, I think one of the most high-profile trans athletes in the country, so boys pretending to be a girl, is this AB Hernandez out of California. And, you know, why I think their story in particular has gotten so much national attention is they absolutely crush the girls. They don't win just one category in track. They win two or three categories in track. And the margin between the first place, real first place finisher, the girl, and AB Hernandez, the boy, is always just, it's insurmountable. It's absolutely insurmountable. So, however, there was an interesting, so last year, AB Hernandez was winning all sorts of things. And he also swept the girls' finals this year. But there was a little bit of a difference in how they decided to handle it. So AB Hernandez won.
Look at his jacket.
Yeah, look at all the patches on it.
All the patches from last year.
And then they put a girl also in first place on the podium. So they like shared first place. Now, you only do that if you know that it's wrong or unfair.
Yep.
That's an admission that it's wrong or unfair. And that's so frustrating for these freaking girls. Can you imagine being the best female track athlete in your category in the state and just realizing, but I'll never beat the boy. I'm actually angrier about this.
Now I have to share.
I'm angrier about this because you're admitting that you know it's wrong, and I have to stand up and be on the same quote-unquote level as this biological male who I cannot compete with. This is from the New York Post. Jurupa Valley High School senior AB Hernandez, 17, captured first place in the girls' long jump, high jump, and triple jump events during the California Southern Section Championship Final. Some of Hernandez's female rivals appeared to ice her out during the medals. Why is the New York Post saying her? Mm-hmm. Why is the New York Post saying her? Appeared to ice her out during the medal ceremonies, with one competitor skipping the podium altogether and others keeping their distance amid the escalating controversy. In an apparent response to mounting criticism, event organizers awarded extra gold medals in events won by Hernandez, giving first place honors to the biological female athletes who finished directly behind. And now they say him. Why are they saying her in one sentence and him in the other? During the high jump medal ceremony, Hernandez stood atop the podium alongside Oak Park High School's Gwyneth Marika, who was also handed a gold medal despite finishing second. First of all, the New York Post is all over the place with that article. But yeah, this is... when is it going to end? When can we move on to something else? And I just refuse. To me, it still is the most important initiative, even ahead of the income tax, because if truth doesn't matter, then nothing matters. If we don't decide as a populace that truth matters, then nothing matters. And it's all downhill from there, and they will be insufferable if we don't pass the initiative, keeping boys out of girls' sports.
And look, I know that sometimes they'll just go undo initiatives anyway. They've done it a million times. But they'll have to go, and every single one of them will have to be on the record and take a vote in Olympia to say, yes, put boys back in girls' sports. And you know what? That's worth something. So if voters say we don't want boys and girls sports in a blue state like Washington, and they have the cojones to go and to undo that, and every single one of them say yay or nay, by all means, do it. But to me, it's the most important initiative. I'm worried it's going to take a backseat to the income tax. But if truth doesn't matter, nothing matters. And we are absolutely doomed as a society. Some good news out of Texas. And I think that we're going to see this start to happen in a lot more places, because we were in this weird period of time where all of a sudden all these kids, I wish I had pulled the percentages again, but the percentages in school districts like Seattle and Olympia just skyrocketed of kids identifying as gender nonconforming. And it's because it's social contagion. That's what it is. It's social contagion. And when that social contagion runs its course, you have kids who have been mutilated who are going to need medical care for the rest of their lives. This is from NBC News. Texas Children's will create a detransition clinic to settle a DOJ and state investigation. The agreement ends a three-year battle over transgender health care at the country's largest children's hospital. Advocates for trans rights raised concerns about politics shaping medicine. So basically, the state of Texas and the Department of Justice were looking into their gender, quote unquote, care practices for juveniles. And as part of this, they now have to open this detransition clinic. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said this is the first ever detransition clinic in the nation. As part of the deal, the Houston Hospital also agreed to terminate five doctors who previously provided transition care to children and to pay $10 million to resolve allegations that the hospital improperly billed the state's Medicaid program for transition care, which was against the law. For the first 5 years of the clinic's operation, Texas Children's must provide detransition care for free. And look, I mean, if they don't do it for free, they're just going to get sued over it, right? I think all these people are going to start to sue successfully for the mutilation that they endured when it becomes very apparent that, you know, it didn't make them happier, it didn't make them healthier, they didn't achieve what they wanted to achieve, or when the social contagion wears off and they realize, oh, I am a girl, and then they can't have kids, and their life is totally upended. So yeah, I mean, if you have transition clinics, you should have detransition clinics. That should already be a thing, but it's interesting to watch the vilification in one way and not the other. We talked about it last week with Chloe Cole, who is the detransitioner who was going to come to the University of Washington until there were so many death threats against her, she had to postpone the event. So you celebrate these people for being their authentic self when they transition to another gender. But if they now believe their authentic self is to transition back, then they're evil, hateful bigots. Evil, hateful bigots. No. So you can't, you're not, you don't really want to trust people when they tell you who they are. You want them to be, you want them to believe in radical gender ideology and never go back. Never turn the clock back. Absolutely outrageous. All right. If you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. They can help you on an individual basis as a landlord, work on screenings and forms, just keep you up to date if you have questions about constantly changing rules and regulations. They also have events across the state. I've been to several of them to talk about how the media covers housing policy, and they're just enjoyable, really. They always have a good time at these events and have great speakers. And then they are leading the charge for property rights in court and down in Olympia. So you can support their work with that, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. Okay, comments from the live stream on the loser protesters in Snohomish. Tech Pew Guy says, Pam is still is less than optimal as a human. $50 super chat. Pam, I think Pam Pammy probably didn't have a great weekend. You know what's really funny is The Stranger did, you know, this article and this whole drama last week. And I wouldn't respond to the author because he's a horrible human being who's just lied about me on a regular basis. He pulled quotes from my show, and he pulled the quote where I said, Pam, with your stupid haircut and glasses. And I was like, actually, that's hilarious. I was like, did he pull that thinking it'd make me look bad? I was like, that was my best line from the whole show. So they put it in there as like a news quote from me. I thought that was funny. David, Florida, we have a no hate org here in Canada. They are the most hateful org around. They hunt down conservative viewpoints, then litigate it in kangaroo human rights tribunals. Yep, every time. Mm-hmm. Kayla, lies and taxes, lies and taxes, lies and taxes. Again, if I were the king of the world or just the state, my rule would be, if you lied about your bill to get it passed, I'm not signing it. I don't care if it's a small, trivial bill. I don't care if it's a big bill. If you're a sponsor of the bill or a co-sponsor and you told a lie about it to sell it to the public, or you told a lie about it on the floor during debate, it's automatically being vetoed because they lie about way too much stuff.
Yeah.
Leland Taylor, I love Jesus and still both of my middle fingers work in my mouth sometimes. Yes.
Fair.
I flip this guy off and then I go into this event with a lot of Christians and I'm like, maybe I'm not a good person. Maybe I'm not a good person.
Sometimes it's just a reflex.
You know, I love to, I flip Nicole off all the time, just randomly. We're sitting here. It just came over me. It felt right.
Yeah.
Felt right in the moment. Feels right now. The race to 400,000. Papa Woody, yet that Safeway allows their bathroom to be used for illegal drug use and sex. Yep, you can go into that West Olympia Safeway and use drugs in the bathroom, but God forbid you collect signatures peacefully outside. On Seattle's new potties, Big Princess, no one will go near those things except the local riffraff. Rick, I'd be very concerned about the cleaning protocols for those bathrooms. First, fentanyl OD in one of them, in one from the last user leaving residue behind, will be a massive lawsuit. Right. Yeah, what are you going to do to clean out, like, the drug residue that will absolutely be in there?
Right. I guess I am glad that it triggers an emergency when somebody's in there too long, because probably there's going to be a lot of people ODing in there.
Yeah. Yeah, but how quick is the emergency response going to be?
Oh, yeah, because of some truck just driving around waiting for an emergency.
Right. Remind me of me says 10 minutes, then Narcan is sprayed. Yeah, the 10-minute clock goes off and they just Narcan in there. Actually, probably not a bad idea, because I don't think Narcan has a negative impact on someone. Like, let's say you just get it.
Right.
And you're not overdosing. I could be wrong. I don't want to give wrong medical opinion, but I don't think it can hurt you.
Right.
Right. So
I don't think so. Not that I've heard of.
Yeah. On Seattle, just telling the homeless that they're not bad people and teaching them how to Narcan their pets if they expose them to drugs. Baron of Gray Matter, they're testing their drugs on their dogs to ensure it isn't poisoned. Happens all the time. Son Miller, don't let Lucky watch this. My dog ain't getting anywhere near Seattle or anywhere where she might get stuck by a needle.
That just breaks my heart. I can't handle it.
Yeah. Let's see. On other chats, there's one. It says Heroism. Is that the name? It says, I've been a longtime listener of Brandy, and I've never been one to sub to anything, really, but I wanted to take advantage of her discount and finally pull the trigger and sub to her cause. Brandy, if you see this message, you're awesome. Oh, this is so nice. I love everything you're doing to try to save us. Please be careful out there, and I hope my year-long contribution goes to helping that cause for you. You're truly a treasure. My wife and I catch your shows daily on YouTube. That's so nice. I always feel awkward reading nice comments about myself, but my sister put it in there. So
we also had someone, we had a couple people submit merch orders because they wanted to support.
Oh, and that's so nice. But
I did hear from one person who received their merch order with the box opened and the hat taken out of the box.
Somebody stole the hat?
I mean, I guess. He said it looked like the box was ripped open and somebody took the hat.
We'll send you a new one.
I know. I told him I'd send it today. But wow. But, you know, I hope somebody's walking around giving us some advertising with that hat.
I hope it was worth it. Matthew Cook, hi, Brandy. With all the folks that are making you hateful and pissed off, give Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down by Margo Price to listen at home. Yes, that's probably a good idea.
You know, that's been a thing this week, is I've had a few people send me songs telling me to have you listen to them.
Don't let the very bastards get you down. Should we shame whoever is calling me during the show again?
Oh, no.
No, that's all right. Let's see. I don't give a chuck. Sorry I missed the signing yesterday. I was under the weather. John Thomas, what about the Monroe prison break? Hours before public notice, needed governor's permission. Oh, there was a break from Monroe. It was from the minimum security prison, right?
Well, from Monroe, he just jumped the fence.
Yeah, been to the minimum security prison, and it's minimum security.
It's very minimum. Yes, he just jumped the fence, and they found him in Linwood at the bus station, I think, and he had a bunch of, like, marks from the fence.
That's kind of crazy when you're in a minimum facility for you to try to escape, because that probably means that you're going to get out soon.
Yeah.
I mean, he just upped his sentence. Mm-hmm. Hillbilly, Brandy, you rock. Thanks for keeping us informed here. You're welcome. I think that's that's about all I got today. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good comments per the usual. We'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, if you haven't watched my latest episode of Swamp Watch with our friend Zach Abraham, Bulwer Capital, definitely worth watching. He is just straight fire on all these authoritarians. That just went up last night. And also coming up on, what is the date? May 21st at 3:30 p.m. Pacific. So pretty quick here. That's this Thursday. Zach is having another one of his free live webinars. This is on the impact of energy. So Zach's going to explain how every market is being driven by energy, the impact energy has on inflation, how that could potentially affect your retirement plan. Plus, he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Impact of Energy webinar coming up this Thursday, May 21st, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. Totally free. Register right now, knowyourriskpodcast.com. While you're there, you can subscribe to Zach's daily podcast, figure out where you can watch it, etc. knowyourriskpodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, Florida gubernatorial candidate Byron Donalds, who has the endorsement of President Trump, so I think that probably bodes well for him being the next governor of the state of Florida. He was on Fox's Sunday morning, and I'll say, I'm very confused because I hear from Democrats here that nobody's leaving our state for Florida, that there isn't some sort of wealth flight happening. Well, Byron Donalds says otherwise.
Have you noticed the influx of wealth in Florida?
Oh, absolutely. You travel this state, you're seeing people from New York, from California, from Illinois, starting to get some from Washington State, because Washington State's telling the other blue states, hold my beer, we'll tell you how to really get crazy.
Wow.
And you're starting to see it come from everywhere.
Yeah. So who do you believe? Do you believe Byron Donalds? Who, what would his motivation be? Do you believe the business owners and the rich people who are already leaving or who literally have said on the record they're going to leave? Do you believe Howard Schultz, Jeff Bezos? Do you believe the entrepreneurs we've had on this show? Or do you believe the Democrats who are saying, oh no, they're not gonna leave if we pass this income tax? Definitely not happening. I think that's an obvious one. All right, we are still running through May our 30% off promo. We only do this once a year. So like so many others, take advantage of it. It's a good way to support our show and what we're doing and helping us grow and reach more people and produce more content. Patreon.com/undivided, patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30 and you get access to Sundays with subscribers, participate in our daily subscriber show polls, live Q&As, etc. All right, that has been today's episode of Undivided. Wow, I almost forgot the name of the show. Thanks for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense. Did anybody say anything about my new hair?
I dyed my hair blonder. I feel like Miranda would have put that in there.
Yeah, come on, guys. I don't do this just for myself. I do it for compliments from you. Cheapers, creepers.
Looks fresh.
Thank you, Nicole.
Looks
Thank
great.
You. Appreciate that. All right, we'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.